Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy too.
Friends, this segment is made possible by Platinum Cadillac and Chevrolet in Terrell, Texas. Stop by and visit with my buddy, Mr. Justin Rudd, and his team of experts, and let them put you in a new Chevy pickup or a Cadillac or whatever you might be in the market for. Also, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma. Check them out at ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. Also made possible by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, folks, we had devoted a good bit of time with Mr. Whitetail, my buddy Larry, on the first half of the show. Let's shift gears. I want you to visit with a friend of mine that's a very interesting guy. Now, his name is Jeff Stewart. A lot of people know him as Jeff Crypto Hulk. He's a big old boy, and he's done a lot of studies about Bigfoot, things like that. That's not what we're going to talk about because I'm very inept at it. I don't even know the right questions to ask, Jeff. But let's me and you talk about hog hunting. That's something I do know something about. How about that?
Yes, sir. That's probably one of my most favorite things to do is to hunt bush. What we always call here in East Texas, bushy-tailed hogs.
Bushy-tailed hog. Yes, yes. You know what, Jeff? I killed a mulefoot hog up in Oklahoma. This fall would be two years ago. A Choctaw mulefoot hog, by golly. Have you ever encountered a mulefoot up in East Texas?
Yes, sir. Whenever I was a younger fella, probably in my teenage years, the hogs had just really exploded here in East Texas. And we were trapping a few of them, and we actually trapped a sow that was a mule-footed hog. And that was the first one I'd ever heard of, first one I'd ever seen. And, of course, some of the older men around our camp, they all started talking about, you know, the mule-footed hogs from way back in the 1940s and 1950s and stuff. And that was my first experience with one, and just an odd looking foot on that character.
Well, it looks like a little baby donkey's foot, doesn't it? Really?
Yes, sir.
You know, the Choctaw Nation is one of my sponsors. They have been a long time. And back in the 1830s, the Choctaw tribe during the Trail of Tears, I think the 30s, I'm pretty close to that, but they left Mississippi, and they brought with them their breed of hog. It was a Choctaw mulefoot hog. And they're a little bit smaller hog than say, a Duroc or a Hampshire, whatever, regular meat hogs. But they brought them with them to Oklahoma. And through the years, like any hog, feral hog, a lot of them got out and whatnot. But the Choctaw folks have a bunch of them, pure breed from Mississippi, Choctaw mulefoots. Well, I got to hunt. I got one of those things. I got a taxidermist made me a little mount, you know, with the feet, the mulefoots. But wild hog hunting in general, that's one of the things that we've talked enough, Jeff, and we've got a lot in common. We both love to hunt hogs and eat them, too. A lot of people ask me, though. I've written I wrote one standalone book, and then Larry Wysoon and I wrote a book on hog hunting here a couple of years ago, a joint effort. But a lot of people ask me, Luke, are they good to eat? Is that a loaded question or what? I mean, you know.
That's a very loaded question because – to me, the feral hog is a different pork than your store-bought pork. The feral hog's meat is more of a red meat than your domestic hog. Your domestic hog is a very white meat. Whenever you buy it in the store, that meat is a very light pink color and everything. But these feral hogs.
Yeah, they're wild, you know.
Their meat is a lot darker in color.
Right.
And a lot richer a lot richer in flavor to me than your domesticated home.
You're right. You're right, Jeff. And to be honest with you, a lot of that reason, I'm sure, is a wild hog has got to work for a living. He's got to use his muscles to dig and get around. Where a domestic hog is penned, and he's made to grow fast and fat, and you know. But the flavor. Back to the are wild hogs good to eat? I finally got a good answer for that. A few years ago, I came up with it because I get asked that by people that don't hunt quite a bit because I do eat a lot of the hogs that I shoot. I ask them this, if you were going to go to a livestock auction and buy a hog to butcher, what would you buy? And they get it then. They get it. You're going to buy an old tough boar? Is that what you're going to buy at a butcher? Or are you going to buy a younger, growing, fatter hog? So that kind of answers that. And you know, something that I've had to overcome, Jeff, with hogs is I live in Hog Central in Kaufman County. There are so many hogs right here where I live, like down where you live in deep East Texas, same thing. But, do I eat every hog I shoot? And the answer is no. I pick and choose. But when I go out, my goal is to shoot a fat young boar is always good. You know, one, say, weighs 125 or less. They're usually very good eating. But if I can pick and choose, I'll try to knock down a gilt, a fat sow, young sow, or an older sow that doesn't have pigs. That's some of the bet to me. The flavor of wild pork is, people say, oh, it's not nearly as good as deer, or do you eat those old hogs? To me, I enjoy the meat as much as I do venison. But there again, I grew up on a farm in East Texas in Red River County where my dad raised 8 or 10 hogs a year, sold some, butchered some. So pork to me has always had a value. But I really appreciate the fact that you not only eat them for yourself, for your family, the quality ones, I'm not talking about all of them, but you also grind it up and mix some beef fat with it, and you supply a lot of folks down there in East Texas with some quality protein, don't you?
Yes, sir. We kill a lot of pigs. I do eradication work for local hay growers, hay farmers, and people with cow pastures that don't want the cows stepping in a rooting and breaking a leg. So we go out and with our thermals, and we set traps, and we do all kinds of stuff to help these farmers. So, you know, sometimes we're stuck with, 8-10 hogs, you know. So what I'll do is I'll take the ones that are good to eat, like you talked about, those prime-sized and everything hogs, and I'll skin them out, and I'll advertise them on social media or something. Hey, is there anybody around here that wants, you know, some meat, or is there anybody who knows a needy family or something? And whenever people message me and say, hey, you know, I'll take it, or I'll give it to this family over here or something. Well, I'll take and I'll go ahead and butcher it, and I'll debone a lot of it. And I've got a big commercial size grinder that I process all my own deer meat and everything. And so I'll run it through there, and I'll grind it up and make hamburger meat out of it.
You bet.
And, man, I'm going to tell you what, that is about as fine a hamburger meat. And I have found the local grocery store, they will save me their trimmings off of their beef. And I will mix that beef fat with those pork trimmings.
Oh, yes.
And you want to talk about make some of the finest hamburger meat.
You bet.
And you can do anything with it. You can make hamburgers, you know, just like you would anything. You'll cook them in a skillet or on the grill or anything.
Yeah.
But you can also make spaghetti out of it. You can make meatloaf out of it. You can just tacos. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
If you can use ground beef, you can use this ground pork. And the good thing is with these feral hogs, the meat is not as saturated with fat as a domesticated hog.
Right.
Like you said, your domesticated hog, he's kept in a pen. He doesn't move very much. He doesn't go anywhere. All he does is eat and sleep.
And grow.
And therefore, yeah. Yes. And therefore, the meat on that hog is full of fat. It's saturated with fat. But these feral hogs, like you said, they got to work for a living. So they're out there rooting up worms and tubers and, you know, eating my corn pile.
Yeah.
And everything else. Rooting crawfish out from around the banks of ponds and, mm-hmm. and streams and things like that. So they're out working for a living, and that's why they are so much more lean, and their meat is a lot leaner. And it is just, it's really, if people would just give it a chance.
You bet.
Instead of going, oh, because they always think about a wild hog, they think of a big old nasty boar
hog.
That's
it. Yep. Yep.
With big old tusks sticking out of his lip and smells. You can smell him from hundreds of yards away. And that's what they think about.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
But if you would get in the mindset of thinking about a 100-pound or less choat.
Yep.
And that 100-pound or less choat, and it doesn't matter whether it's a young boar or whether it is a gilt, it doesn't matter.
That's right. Yep.
If they would just get in the mindset that they don't stink and they don't, their meat doesn't have any kind of a gamey taste. You know, a lot of people are put off by white-tailed deer and mule deer and things like that because they say it has a gamey taste. Me, I love that taste, but a lot of people are put off by it. Well, feral hog doesn't have a gamey taste.
No, you know what, Jeff? They're telling me we need to take a break. I've just scratched the surface. We need to, well, let's take a break, and will you come back? I want to talk some more hog hunting with you. How about that?
Yes, sir.
Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back. Folks, I want to tell you about one of my long-term partners, and that is Pyramid Air. The website is pyramydair.com. They're a one-stop shop for everything air gun related, big bores, little bores, PCP guns, springers, you name it, all different brands, some great air gun supplies, but also a whole lot more. Archery, ammo, optics, shooting and outdoor gear, action sports, all this stuff can be found right there and ordered through Pyramid Air. So remember, go online to pyramydair.com.